A few announcements. First, you can sign your red pad, pass it down because there's one on your aisle. Verna Miller called this morning, just wanted to thank persons who had sent her a birthday card. Today is her birthday. Arlie Canidius' husband, Doug, had knee surgery, and it went well as far as we know at this time, and is supposed to go home from the hospital today. So remember that in prayer. This time I'll call Heather Perman to come up. She's got an announcement for us. While she's coming, remind you that we will have a children's sermon next week with Arlie, and also communion is next Sunday and the first Sunday in Advent. And you can sign up to be an Advent reader on the back of the sheet.
Good morning, everyone. Wanted to let you know what was going on in Junior Church. Junior Church, the young people have decided to have a mission project. And their mission project is through the Presbyterian Gift Giving. And they have chosen to raise money to buy a spigot so they can have clean drinking water, as well as a pig, which would help provide food and money for them. Part of that, they're taking donations and they're raising it. When they get enough funds, that's what they want to do for the other ones. But in connection with that, the Moose 2699 has a raffle going on. You want to hold that up? And they're selling tickets. The raffle goes off this, I think it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
And the tickets are $5. $2 will be donated back to the Junior Church group. For this project, for each ticket sold. The tickets are $5, and so $2 will come back to the Junior Church group. And if you buy six, then they're $25. But Junior Church is doing a lot of activities, and I give these kids a lot of credit. So thank you very much. If you have any questions,
you can feel free to talk to her and purchase tickets following the service. And if you weren't able to hear real well, she can explain it to you. But $2 goes to the Junior Church, and they're going to use it to buy a pig and a spigot. Okay. Thanksgiving dinner will be here this week. They have a sign-up sheet on the back table. Still need desserts, tossed salad, coleslaw, cranberry sauce, and sweet potatoes. So you can help with that. Please sign up, and maybe you'll make a couple of things. You can sign up twice if you desire. Also, cookies. The annual craft show and cookie walk will be held Saturday, December the 12th. We need cookies. We need about 500 dozen. You can make them now and bring them to church, and they will put them in the freezer. But this is a nice fundraiser, and so I hope that you can participate in this year. And Christian Education, we're sponsoring a bake sale. Any donations for that would be greatly appreciated. And you can read about the Northmont, their day out, which you can sign up for. And notice the Kosher Hooks, which Diane is here today, have a new address. So mark that down in your books. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise, 559. Come, ye thankful people, come. worship, continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed in your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for providing for our needs. We are grateful that you sent Jesus into the world. Forgive us when we allow worry to control our thoughts. Teach us how to place our lives in your hands. Help us to allow faith to be greater than doubt. Remind us to find something to be grateful for every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for a personal silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Join together with a sense of faith and unity as we recite our Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, the Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. I don't know a name. The unison reading, please notice it is unison reading today, Psalm 100, 709. 709, Psalm 100. Shout for joy to the Lord, O the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
At this time, we'll have the elder on the door come forward with a prayer and praise request.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Today's praise request is for Doug, Arlie's husband, also for Jen McComb and Sandy Letterly. The praise for Doug's successful surgery and for the support provided by Jen McComb and Sandy Letterly. Please continue to pray for Doug and Arlie as he recuperates at home.
As we go to the Lord in prayer, I want us to continue to remember the terrorism that is going on and the bombings and the killings around the world, France and other countries, especially with ISIS, that this evil can somehow be stopped. And as we pray, let's take a moment to think about what we have to be thankful for in our lives. I know we all go through difficult times and circumstances, but each of us can find something to truly be thankful for. Let's go to the Lord in our prayers. Heavenly Father, we come to you this day as the Church of Jesus Christ here at Glenshaw Valley. We gather together to worship you, to praise you, to pray, to sing, to hear the word read and preached, to fellowship with one another. We are grateful for that opportunity to have this freedom in the United States of America. Help us to use our freedom to love others and to help them find Jesus Christ, that they can be thankful that they will have the promise of eternal life. Lord, as we gather here today, we lift up so many different situations to you, some that have been mentioned, some that have not. But we know that you hear our prayers every time, that you do not turn a deaf ear to us, but you answer our prayers according to your glory and wisdom and power and understanding, not always to ours. Help us to line our prayers up with your will for our individual lives, our families, for our church, for our nation, for our world. Thank you, Lord, for coming into our world and teaching us who the Heavenly Father is and how we should act and how we should respond. And thank you for this wonderful prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, the screen song, Forever. thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the cross, that death could not hold our Lord Jesus. And he arose from the dead and showed himself. Then he ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of power and glory. And when we pray through him to you. And we thank you that you hear this. And Lord, we thank you that the Holy Spirit was sent to us to empower us, to help us remember things, to allow us to use the gifts that you have given us for your glory, to build up your church and the kingdom of God. Bless everyone that uses every talent that is given to them. Thank you, Lord, and thank you for loving us. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our friend. Amen.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Today's scripture is from Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all of his glory, was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. Bless the reading of his word.
Thank you, Mike. You can see that photograph on the PowerPoint. Any of you ever look like that at times? Especially when it's bill time or a lot of different situations can cause us to feel like that. We sit there with a head in our hands, worrying, fretting. How will we get through life? What are we going to do? Well, the young man was fresh out of business school, and he saw an ad in the newspaper, the old days, for a job as an accountant. And when he went there, he said, I need someone with an accounting degree, but mainly I'm looking for someone to do my worrying for me. So I worry about a lot of things, but I don't want to have to worry about money. Your job will be to take all the money problems off of my back. The accountant said, I see. And how much does the job pay? He said, well, we're going to start you out at $100,000. The man exclaimed, that's a lot of money for a small business. How are you going to pay me $100,000? The man looked at him and said, that's your first worry. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could pay someone to do our worrying for us? It's amazing how many things we can find to stress out, especially during this week of Thanksgiving and the holidays, making cookies, baking the turkey, having family over, all kind of different situations that can cause us to stress out, and instead of enjoying the moment, we're caught up in worrying and fretting. Maybe those who are responsible for cooking for a large family, or you're entertaining your relatives, you can really find a way to stress out here at Thanksgiving. A woman tells about visiting her parents for Thanksgiving, And even though her mother was over 80 years old, she was determined to cook a Thanksgiving dinner for all the family. And after having spent the day preparing all the food, her mother was getting ready to go to bed, and her daughter noticed that she set her alarm clock for 4 a.m. And her mom explained that she needed to get up and turn the oven on at 4 a.m. and put the turkey in. And her daughter knew that her mother's stove had a timer on it. She could set the time and just go to bed and not worry about it. And she told her mother this. But her mother said, "Of course, but I've been getting up for over 60 years, 60 Thanksgivings at 4 o'clock to put the turkey in the oven. It just would not be the same if the stove did it for me." Don't you suspect this mom didn't really trust her timer? She would have been worried. She would have been fretting. Well, it won't come on. It won't work right. And then the turkey will not be cooked. And Thanksgiving dinner will be ruined. Anybody know a worrier like that? There's an old Irish poem by an unknown author that goes like this. It says, "Why worry? In life, there are only two things to worry about. Whether you're well or whether you're sick. Now, if you're well, you have nothing to worry about. And if you're sick, you only have two things to worry about. Whether you get better or whether you're going to die. If you get better, you have nothing to worry about. And if you die, then you only have two things to worry about. Whether you're going to heaven or whether you're going to hell. Now, if you go to heaven, you have nothing to worry about. Now, if you go to hell, you're so busy shaking the hands of all your friends and relatives that you have nothing else to worry about. So why worry?" The word worry comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word meaning to strangle or to choke. While we need to be attentive to life's concerns, and we do, worrying about them chokes the joy out of life. Worrying is like driving a car with one foot on the brake and one on the accelerator. The wheels are spinning and a lot of rubber is burning, but you're not going anywhere. Or sitting on your front porch in a nice rocking chair. You're using some energy, you're doing something, but you're not going anywhere. Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. It's not life more than food and the body more than clothes. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety and worry. Looking over the total scope of your life, and I think it's a good thing to do, and not just what is going on at that moment, how has God treated you? How has your life been? There's an appealing story from Gene Webster's Daddy Long Legs. It's the story of a little girl that was placed in an orphanage. She was befriended by a person that she didn't know, and this stranger took a real fancy to her and provided for her during her life. But he never reveals his identity to her. And years after the favors flow in from an unknown friend, she passes through childhood years, and she's now through college pursuing opportunities in life by a friend that she's never met, by a name that she does not know, by someone that she's never seen. But one day, events allow them to meet, to come face to face. But she doesn't recognize him until they begin to talk and someone tells her what is going on. It does not look like she had imagined that he would look. But she finally learns his true identity, and she loves him because this is her longtime friend who has taken care of her from afar. I think that can be a parable for our lives and our relationship with Jesus. We can all think of times when Christ has blessed our lives. We may not have seen him. We may not have even felt his presence, but he was there with us, helping us through a very difficult time and situation in our lives. In our scripture lesson, Jesus points out that God has been and will continue to be extremely generous and loving to us. In his typical down-to-earth way, Jesus tells us to look at the birds. They neither sow nor reap, yet God doesn't let them starve. If God provides the most insignificant bird, don't you think he provides for his children, for us, whom he loves, who he cares for, who he gave his very life for, died on the cross for us? And the flowers, they don't fuss and they don't worry about what they will wear. God clothes the wildflowers. We don't even have to plant flowers for them to be there. But one day, they're here, and then they're gone. If God does that for something growing in the wild, surely God will care for them who is created, as Psalm says, a little lower than angels, and crowned us with glory and honor. While we're upon this earth, we're a little lower than angels. But when we die and we ascend into heaven, then we ascend over even the angels. I think gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety and for worry. Gratitude, I think, keeps blessings flowing into our lives. Call it a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you like, but grateful people seem to attract more blessings into their life. A recent study found that people who jot down what they're thankful for each week are more optimistic about their lives, they exercise more, even have fewer visits to the doctor's office. There's something about the spirit of gratitude that is healing to the body and to the soul. Gratitude allows for blessings to flow where anxiety and worry choke them off. A person who experiences true gratitude seeks to be a channel of blessings and reach out and try to do good and say kind words and helpful things to other people. A truly grateful person cannot hoard God's blessing. A grateful person seeks to allow his blessings to flow through himself or herself out to others. People who are truly grateful want to pass those blessings on. But I think you already know that. You're here this day to give your thanks to God for the many blessings that you have in your lives. You have discovered that gratitude is the perfect antidote for anxiety. You have discovered that a grateful attitude causes blessings to flow into your life. And you have discovered that a person who experiences true gratitude seeks to be a channel that blessings can flow through to others. I think that we are a grateful people, first of all, because of our relationship with Jesus Christ and what he has provided for us here upon this earth and then for the life to come. So we give our thanks today. We say, thank you, God, for all the many wonderful blessings. And what I want to do, I did this a few years ago. We got plenty of time. I like a few people. Just, you can sit or you can stand right in your seat and just say one thing that you're thankful for in your life. Friends, amen.
For my family, who's been such a help.
Great family, and had another family.
For our church.
For our church, amen.
For God blessing me, getting healed for me from cancer and sepsis, and to helping me take care of my husband for 15 years. I ask everybody to thank you for all the prayers you gave me during this very hard time for me.
Thank you, Meryl. She's saying thank you for being healed of cancer, for the strength to take care of her husband for so many years before he passed. Anyone else?
3 years cancer free.
3 years cancer free. Amen. Thankful for the junior church. Her family's health.
I would be thankful for this church.
Thankful. Thankful for this church.
Church.
Thankful for his wife. That's a good thing to be thankful for. Thank you. Thankful for food, his health, roof over his head, and thankful that I invited him to come down to Glenshaw Valley Church. And thankful for me. I slipped that one in, yeah. We just knew that one already. For his wife and family, and for Mickey and the good music, and Lynn said, for Facebook bringing Mike and her together. Thankful for the choir. Amen. They bring us such beautiful music, and really today, just outstanding.
For our service people for keeping us safe.
For our service people for keeping us safe. Amen.
For the messages you bring us every week.
For the messages I bring every week.
For the freedom to worship that we have.
Amen. For the freedom to worship that we have. Not everyone has it. Thankful for me. Thank you. Well, I'm thankful for each and every one of you, too. Thank you for allowing me to be here. Anyone else? Well, I want you to know that God is thankful for you. He's thankful that you have accepted Him into your lives, that you've chosen to worship Him, to serve Him, to spread His good word, to treat other people with dignity and respect, to help feed them and clothe them and minister to them. God is thankful for you. Amen. And thank you for participating. Our hymn of response, 556, Now Thank We All Our God.
couple of reminders again. You can sign up for the Advent readers on the table in the back. Also, still need some items that you can look at for the Thanksgiving meal. And remember to be baking some cookies. And communion is next Sunday. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary, I know that all of us have our times of trial and tribulation and worry and anxiety. And when you start having that, stop for a moment and think about God. Think about the good things that have happened in your life. And let the good overcome the negative. Let the positive outweigh the bad. Go from here in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Thank you.